Our dear Heavenly Father, we honor you. Lord, because there is none like you. Lord Jesus, we appreciate you. As you go to the services and to the word this morning, Lord, I come and I humble myself under your mighty hand. I recognize, Lord, that my Lord infirmities and weaknesses are present, and I ask that you help me. Help me, O God, to speak as an oracle of God. I look to you for fresh mercy and unction under the covering of my fathers and of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So I will preach, teach, and deliver your word, Lord, with humility, Lord, with power, with simplicity and clarity. Let it go forth to do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts and lives, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the light and revelation of the Holy Spirit, our emotions for the control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that our lives will not be the same, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for strength and power to be doers of the things that we hear. Thank you for yokes that are broken. Thank you for veils that are torn and removed. Thank you for strength that comes to our feet and our ankle bones. So we'll go deeper into the temple, Lord, into the very presence of God, in the name of Jesus. As I pray, Father, I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord, to be concise and precise, Lord, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, so that, Lord, as in this time of ministration, let all the glory go to Jesus as we speak of him, and let all the blessings come to us, the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're actually crossing over into chapter 4 this morning by the grace of God. In our last lesson, we were in verses 6 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. And we saw, you know, the Thessalonian church, just a brief recap, was a church that was born into persecution. Persecution was very rife. From the very beginning, they were enduring persecution. It was so bad that Paul had to be whisked away from Thessalonica because they wanted to kill him, you know. So, but he was not there physically, but he was monitoring them spiritually. And at a point in time, to be able to ascertain that they were bearing up properly under that pressure, he sent Timothy to them. And we said in our last that Timothy was operating under an apostolic covering. He was a son in the Lord to Apostle Paul. And so, you know, he himself was operating as an apostle. If you look at it in verse 6, he says that he was sent there, you know, to tell them. I think it's verse 7. He was still talking about that. He was sent there to establish them, you know, and encourage them in the faith. You know, so we see that Timothy himself was operating as an apostle. You know, and that's very encouraging, that when you stay under covering faithfully, after a time, God begins to entrust you with that same anointing that he has put upon our fathers. Amen. And he was there, and so he did three things. He established them, he encouraged them, and then he also assessed their response. You know, there's a particular response that God is looking for from our lives when you're under pressure. It's not a time to be offended. It's not a time to respond with hatred. It is a time, instead of our love waxing cold, our love should be waxing hot. Amen. Look, if you look at Matthew 24, I'm not turning there, but you can just put it up on the board. Talks about when iniquity, talks about the fact that many will be offended under persecution. In Matthew 24, verse 10 to 12, you know, it says many will be offended, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many waxes cold. Now, that is Satan's goal, that during persecution, we will give away the word, we will not hold on to the word, and then our love waxes cold. So we begin to, you know, blame, we begin to be complain, we begin to be offended, and that's not the response that these brethren had. Because Timothy's report was a positive one. Amen. The brethren had a strong desire to please God. The Bible says that he remembered the apostles. They had great desire to see them. And we said in our last lesson that this was they were seeing things from a divine perspective. Whatever it is you're going through, brethren, we must have God's mind about what we're going through. Amen. Don't just look at the situation in his natural, and that is a lying vanity. It is important to see it in the way God says, what seest thou? you know, your interpretation of that. And their interpretation was that this, we are well able to overcome it. This is meant to, like we said in our last lesson, you know, that is supposed to, you know, produce, you know, affliction is the catalyst. It doesn't make you more like God, but it creates an environment where you use the blood, you use the word, you use the spirit. Amen. And if you do that, then it quickens your pace. And that's why God allowed it in the first place. Amen. So it was, and that's the way they saw it. And that's the way they responded. So their love was getting hotter and hotter. Amen. And our own love under pressure, you know, must get hotter, because this is the proof that we're diligently operating the law of the spirit of life. Amen. And when you operate the law of the spirit of life, you subdue this force of iniquity that he's talking about that there in Matthew 24. And you, when you overcome it, it brings great joy. So it was, the apostles were greatly encouraged to see that their children were walking in love, they were walking in faith, you know. And so it brought joy, it brought encouragement to the fathers. And that is very important. As children, we wield an influence over our parents, both spiritual and natural. Amen. And we should use that influence positively. Use your walk with God, you know, to encourage your parents, to encourage, to bring joy. As we walk in the truth, we bring them joy. We should not bring them sorrow. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, we saw the last time, that it's unprofitable for you when you don't submit, when you don't obey, you know, because the Bible says that no, they don't watch over you in vain. They're going to give an account. And you must allow them to be able to give a positive account. In this case, Timothy gave a positive account back to Paul and the other brethren that, look, the Thessalonians are doing well. Amen. And no, that response, we see that in verse 10, that response brought so much gratitude from Apostle Paul unto God. We were very grateful to God that, thank God, we have not run in vain. Amen. Our parents will not run in vain over us in Jesus' name. Amen. We will grow, we will increase, we will respond, we will walk in their footsteps. And that brings the encouragement, it strengthens them. So they sacrifice more. Having seen how much they put in and the response, then they're able to sacrifice more time in prayer, more time in the word, more time in love, because they see the fruit we're bringing forth and they want to perfect that fruit. You know, and that's very important, because no fruit needs to be, the Bible says that the branch in me, John 15:2, that brings forth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So you don't bring forth all of the fruit of the spirit in one day. Amen. You begin to grow in temperance, you begin to grow in patience, but then you still have faithfulness to grow in. Amen. You still have gentleness to grow in. Amen. So as God begins to do a work, you know, in you, and we begin to see you walking in the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the love of God, then God dunks it around and uses spiritual fathers to ensure that you bring forth even more fruit. Amen. And we'll bring forth more fruit that will abide and that will remain in Jesus' name. Just to give a quick example, you see, Samuel was a good example of this. Samuel grew up in a negative environment. In a negative environment, in Eli's house, you know, the lamp was dim. His older brothers, when he came there, they were big boys. So, I mean, they were doing, of course, you know the story, I don't want to waste time. No, you know, just to bring out the essence. The essence was that, you know, they were not disciplined, they were covetous, you know, they were proud. I'm sure they would have influenced and say, come here, you know, do this, and do that. No, Samuel ministered before Eli with a linen effort before the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2 talks about verse 11. Says he ministered before the Lord. Said he ministered before the Lord, before Eli, before the Lord. Then in verse 18, you see Samuel growing. Now he ministered to the Lord directly. See, Brent, there's a progression. He now, initially, he was with his daddy spiritually. Eli was a spiritual father. He was with his father spiritually and learning to minister to the Lord. By the time he got to verse 18, he had started ministering to God one-on-one. And that's a sign of growth. Amen. Now, look from verse 18, look to verse 21. And it says, and Samuel grew. So, no, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen. And then finally in verse 26, you can see Samuel growing. You know, so this, you can see in that negative environment, and the child Samuel did what? He grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men. Doesn't that remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ? He grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor. That's the way we are supposed to grow, brethren, in a negative environment. And he brought forth a new priesthood, something that had never existed before, a prophetic priestly priesthood that God used to bring restoration in Israel. Now, at the same time in Nigeria as we speak, there is a Samuel company in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that company is also growing. Amen? It's growing in wisdom. It's growing in stature. It's growing in characters. That stature, favor with God and favor with men. It's having a voice in the heavens. Amen? And it's going to bring about a manifestation, okay, of the restoration of the fullness of God and the glory of God. Amen. In our land, Nigeria. So we thank God for what God is doing, and it's time for us to make sure that we're part of what God is doing. Amen. We now go to verse 11. Yes, but now we live and stand fast in the Lord. That's how important it is. Okay? Verse 11. Now, let's read it. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Next verse. And the Lord make you to increase. I can't hear you, brethren. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love to one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Amen. So you're not just growing. Oversight is growing. In fact, it's their growth that is pulling you up. Because when they grow, they create space and then you move up. But there's no room for you to move up if they're occupying the space. Amen. All right, next verse. Thank God. To the end. So there's an end. To the end. This is the end. That he may what? Establish your heart what? Unblameable in holiness before God. Not before men. Even our Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. Now, chapter 4. Verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of the Lord how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So you receive the instruction of how to walk and how to please God. Oh, that we would have fathers, many, many more, that teach the people how to please God. But there's a 7,000 in the cave. Amen? Amen. So that is teaching the people how to please God. Not how to get this miracle or get that miracle. The miracles follow the pleasing. Amen. We don't follow the miracles. We follow the pleasing. And when we follow the pleasing, then the miracles follow after. Okay? Next verse. Verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Their commandments that they give us. Verse 3. And this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Amen. All right, now we'll see how the Lord helps us. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. So go back to verse 11. All right. And we see the apostle teaching us here, verse 11, that that the Lord God himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. This is a very important point. And Paul is praying here that the Lord Jesus will direct their way unto the Thessalonian brethren. He had a desire to be there with the brethren, to strengthen them, to come there personally. He had tried and he hadn't found the opportunity. And it's important to recognize that we need to be led by the Spirit. We are not led by need, neither are we led by emotion. We must be led by the Spirit. So if God gives us an idea or a revelation in our hearts, remember that he has a way and a time to bring that revelation into manifestation. Amen. It's very important you understand that. Otherwise, you end up jumping ahead of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart devised his way, but the Lord does what? Directed his steps. It is God that directs the steps moment by moment, you know, along the way that God has said. And it's so important. We see this in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, when he heard the news that Lazarus was sick, and the Bible says Jesus abode 2 extra days right there, you know, and waited for Lazarus to, he was just obeying God. He didn't know what was, but he obeyed God and waited there praying. And that's what we need to do, because to respond in the spirit, you have to be prayerful. You have to, you cannot just run out, you know, in emotion and run out because there is a need. That's what we're being taught here, you know, and it's important that when we do that, as we pray and walk in the spirit, you know, we are in the way. Amen. We are in the way. Look at Genesis 24:27. All right, and we see this is a type, this is an example for us. Genesis 24:27, and we know the story. Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to go and get a wife for his son Isaac. You know, it's like type of the Holy Spirit going to get a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, and being there, he said this, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." It takes mercy and truth, okay, to keep us walking in the spirit and walking. "That I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." God cannot lead us except we ourselves put ourselves in the way. What is the way? It's the way of life. It's the way of life. We get there through prayer. We get there through the word. Amen. Praying frequently during the day, and once every 6 hours, every opportunity, in every temptation, we put ourselves in the way. And when we put ourselves in the way, then God can direct. As you are going this way, no, God's people will tell you, no, you wait. I think I have something in my spirit is telling me to wait. It's God trying to guide our feet in the way. So the Apostle Paul he wants to be there with the brethren, but he's praying this prayer and say, "God, direct my way." Amen. And that's the prayer all of us should learn. And fathers have learned with maturity that, you know, "Lord, not my will, but your will. Direct my way unto these brethren." And brethren, we also need to pray that God directs our way. We should not, like Moses, jump ahead of God. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Exodus chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown." So he was grown. He realized who he was. That he was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that he was a Hebrew. Okay? And then he went out unto his brethren. So he knew that these are my brethren. The Egyptians are not my brethren. These ones are my brethren. Alright? And looked on their burdens. So he was touched with their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. He saw injustice. One of them. So he saw some. There was a need. And he didn't consult. He went and look at verse 12. God will have mercy on us. Amen. But and he looked this way and that way. And when God didn't lead him, it wasn't God's leading to him. God didn't ask him to do this. Very many times, brethren, it's easy to go ahead of God. 1 minute you are behind him. The next minute you are 2 steps ahead. Except you keep yourself in the way by prayer. By spending fellowship with God and the Word, amen. All right, so when we watch and pray always, we overcome temptation. He fell for that temptation. He responded to emotion. We must not respond to emotion. We must respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, and we saw the Lord Jesus as an example there. The Bible says, if you trust in God with all of your heart and don't lean on your understanding, He will direct your steps, amen. All right, verses 12. And 13. We're back to 1 Thessalonians now. "Now God himself, Lord, make you to increase and abound one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." God is not satisfied with the amount of love you are walking in today. Amen. God wants our love to do 2 things. Increase and abound. Amen.
Now, another scripture puts it this way. It talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Amen. So your love must, it must grow and grow and grow. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Until we become love. Love is not something we have or we walk in. Love is something we are. So we feel, you know, that prayer that we pray, that we feel and cover my will, mind, emotions, body and soul with love. You feel it until there is no space, all of God and none of you. So we keep filling our soul, filling our body with the love of God until we are filled to fullness. Look at Ephesians 3:17, 20. Very quickly, it's something that we've been taught many times, so we're just reiterating it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Okay, next verse. May be able to comprehend. You see, you need one level of love to take you to the next level of love. There are levels in love, and you can't jump levels. You have to exercise through them. So as you exercise, you learn. As you exercise, you learn. All right? So it's you may be able to comment with all the saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Next verse. And to know by experience the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Brother, this is a divine child. God wants us to carry his fullness. He wants you and I to carry his fullness. And it's possible. Amen. Say it's possible. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Next verse, verse 20. You see the reason why. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is working in us? The power of love. That's the power that is working in us. Amen. That's the power. The power is not just the power of prayer. Prayer without love in the background. The Bible says we're tickling cymbal. No, you have robbed your prayer of the power. The power is coming from the conduct in love. Amen. So that conduct, love, the love is heaven's unstoppable power. You unleash it when you walk in love. You remember when Jesus was going to be taken to the brow of the hill? They took him and just carried him, and they were going to throw him down. There was a crowd. It wasn't two or three or four people. And he got to the brow and turned on the love. Turned on the love. And what happened? Everybody fell down. There is power in love. If the power in love is greater than the power in the world. Amen. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 8. In verse 6, I believe. It's very important that. And this is the power that is going to change our lives. Amen. We are in a season of Rehoboth and God is making room for us. Amen. All right. Say, set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm. For love is as strong as death. Love is stronger than death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Next verse. Many waters cannot what? We quote it when it comes to wedding. But it's far more than that, brethren. Many waters cannot. So water's talking about the power in the world. You know, Peter walked on water. All right, so he's talking about the power that is coming from the unregenerate spirit. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. The Bible talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. It's trapped in love. That's where the key is. You release it and you lock it back again. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly not be enough. That's what he's saying. And that power of love is the power that we need to unleash in our lives. And we need to unleash, and we are unleashing in our land. Amen. Amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. We see again the same. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. For if these things be you, well, what things is this talking about? He's talking about add to your faith knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience, love. He's talking about adding love. So he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They what? They do what? Make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is love that makes room. Hallelujah. It is love that makes room. When they made room for, when Isaac dug the well, Genesis 26, mommy and pastor have told us, when Isaac dug the well, he didn't strive with them, he walked in love. He walked in love. They did it the first time, he responded in love. Then the second time, he was operating a spiritual principle, brethren. His love was increasing to a point where, but this is the third time, they couldn't come back again. What happened? He had the ascendancy. Amen. Things had changed. They were not on the upper hand. He now had the upper hand. Amen. So the same thing is happening to us. As we walk in love, it brings fruitfulness. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Quickly, thank you. Now, so it talks about fruitfulness. Next verse, verse 9. It says, but he that lacketh these things is what? Blind and cannot see afar off. So you begin to see through a glass darkly. You begin to see lying vanities. You know, you're not seeing what God has to do because the love is not enough. Because when you lack love, it affects the way you see and interpret things. So love is the power that brings wisdom. Wisdom is inherent in love. It's the principal part of love. So the more love you have, the more wisdom you have. The more love you have, the more compassion you have. The more love you have, the more power you have. Those are the three aspects of love. Amen, as we have been taught. So we see that is what God, and that is what affects, you know, brings about, you know, the growth, you know, and Christ begins to come in us in fullness. Look at verse 11. Jump to verse 11. Verse 11, okay? And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love, if you allow it to grow and grow and grow and grow, will bring you right to where Jesus was. Amen. That everlasting kingdom where you can do works that he did and greater works. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. Amen. So, brethren, we must be diligent in prayer. We must be diligent in the word. And must be diligent in the practice of divine love. It is critical, you know. And one other thing that mommy shared, you know, she shared it with us in school, and she emphasized it here as well. Love connects you with the helpers of your destiny. Very important. If you don't walk in love, what you are praying for, either you will not pass by you in Jesus' name. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that if you are not careful to practice and use every situation, don't say this one, Egbagbe love. This one, you forget about Jesus. This one, let's do it this way. No. Everything must be with love. Isaac did it with love. He lost with love, as it were. He gave up something in the natural in order to get love. Abraham gave Lot the better land in love. But the love came back to pay him. And the land that looked barren, God said, this land I will give to your descendants. See, love is unstoppable, brethren. When you get on the back of the love train, you become unstoppable. But if you go on your own, you're on your own. You will not be on your own in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Just very quickly. 1 Samuel 30. We know the story. You know, the Amalekites came when David went to Ziklag, and they carried away everybody's wife and children. The Bible says that they were all discouraged. They wept until they had no more power to weep. Men, warriors, they were weeping. And so David prayed and encouraged himself in the Lord and turned to God and said, should I pursue? God said, pursue. So they are pursuing now. They've taken their wives, they're taking their children. You can imagine the passion and the emotional pain. And know that they are going through. No, they are in a very difficult situation. So, and David inquired and said, verse 10. Thank you, verse 10. 10. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which are so faint that they could not go over the brook. Another matter for another day. Next, verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field. This man, let's continue. No, an Egyptian in the field, and, wait, let me finish. And brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. Next verse. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Next verse. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days gone, I fell sick. So this man was sick. He was hungry. He was by the side of the road. They could have easily walked past him. They had more important things to do. They were getting their wives. They were getting their children. They were the most important person they had. But they brought him David. Those men even were under discipline. They were under discipline of love. Because they could have just killed him. But they were obeying instruction. They were looking at their master and the way he behaves. So they saw that example and they brought that sick, deadly, almost at the point of death. What are we talking about? Carry him out of my sight and let's continue with this. Don't you know what we're going to get? Love. Don't be so much in a hurry that you forget about love. Don't reserve love for certain times. It's all the time. Is all the time. Don't pass by. Impatience. Selfishness. No, they went out of their way to show that man love. He turned out to be the helper of their destiny. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. We will not miss the helpers of our destiny. You will not miss it. It's by showing love to all and sundry. And you never can tell. The person you look down on, that's the person that has the key to what you are looking for. The key of Naaman's healing was in a servant girl. Love. Love. It's a universal principle, brethren. Love is patient and kind. And it is that same love that is going to change Nigeria from inside out. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the power of love, brethren. Yes, prayer. But prayer works with love. The Bible says, my people called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. Isn't it? Seek my face. That's talking about walking in love. His face is love. You are looking into his face. You want to be like him. When we unleash, in fact, we have already unleashed. Mommy told us last week, amen, you know, from Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, that the ancient of days has come and judgment has been given in our favor. So we have the upper hand. And we can see what happened yesterday night. Hallelujah. Mommy gave us the word last week. And you can see what happened yesterday night. No, our vice president was delivered. He's the power, totally delivered. Not him. Everybody's life in the ship. in the helicopter. Amen. What are we saying, brethren? It's the power of love. Yes, we pray. Now that's what our fathers have taught us. Mommy taught us this about humility, which is also a part of love. You know, about humility and why, we pray in Nigeria. We have so many churches in Nigeria, yet see how Nigeria is. It's because we have not prioritized love. We must put love on the front burner. Amen. First one toward another and then toward all men. So that we saturate the whole atmosphere with love. So that people who ordinarily would not even walk in love, because of what is in the air, they walk in love. So happened to David and his men. Amen. All right, that's God's portion for us, okay? And what is the end of that? The end of that is that we become unblameable in holiness. He's describing perfection, brethren. Brethren, it's not enough to be a child of God. It's not enough to be blessed. It's not enough to be doing miracles. God wants to establish us unblameable in holiness. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that's. And no, because we know understand that to mean that Jesus is coming in us in three ways. We've been taught that he's coming in us. Okay. He's coming with us and he's coming for us. Okay. And the first coming is what we're waiting for now. The perfection. Coming in us in perfection and the fullness of Christ. That's the curriculum, brethren. That is the step that God has described his purpose. He's coming once in, there's a time for everything, and this is the season for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's coming with all his saints, you know, for all of us, you know, we are coming to him. But at the same time, he's coming in us. And that's what he's saying, that when it was, as it's coming in us, you know, we should, like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 10, we should be ready for him. You know, and when he comes in us, be ready. So God wants to, and that's what happens when you walk in love. He begins to come. He begins to come. So it looks as if, what does this have to do? Everything. It has everything to do with what God wants to do. But it says, when shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. God is coming, and he's coming to be admired. Hallelujah. When people see the love of God, they will admire God in us. Amen. That's the will of God. All right. So we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, as we begin to round up. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. All right. Furthermore, brethren, we beseech you. All right, we see that. Give this to me in the Amplified. Let's just read it, because it's clearer in the Amplified. Amen. Furthermore, brethren, puts that in capital. Right. We beg. God is begging. Let's read it together. We beg and admonish you in virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ? You are in union with love himself. Amen. You are in union with love. So you and love are one. So you should be reproducing more of that love. Amen. That's what he's saying. That you follow the instructions which you learned from us about how you ought to walk, so as to please and gratify who? As indeed you are doing. So you acknowledge that they're doing it. Okay? And that you do so even more and more abundantly, attaining yet greater perfection in living this life. This life is about perfection. Perfecting God's love in our lives. It is not about just doing what you're doing and going to heaven. That is given. It's a gift. He's talking about fulfilling the end for which God created us. This is the end. Amen. Look at verse 2. Amplified. For you know what charges and precepts we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is godly oversight. Talking with authority. Brethren, there are instructions and charges and precepts that we have been given. You know, and it's the whole church that has been given. You ignore those instructions to your own peril. This is the instruction of walking in love. Reproducing the love of God. You know, keeping your heart honest and humble. You know, keeping a pure heart. You know, walking by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit. Perfecting the love of God in this life. Those are the instructions. And you know, we have instructions of, you know, praying with all kinds of prayer, with travail. Or, you know, we have instructions of praying in the spirit, watching and praying once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. We have instructions of fasting and living a fasted life. And we have instructions of practicing the love of God. These are instructions we have been given by the inspiration and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not man's doctrine. This is scripture. Live. And he already said it in verse 13 in chapter 3. Then he's saying it again in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Why is he emphasizing this thing? It's because you can start on it, you can increase on it, but if you don't hold on to it, you can go back. You can go back. That's why he's emphasizing it. And case in point, you know, is King David. I mean, King David, obeyed instruction. We see the example. He's the example that God gave us of how to recover all. Right there, walking in love. And they recovered their family intact. Recovered everything they wanted intact by walking in love. So David was practicing these things. He got into the promised land. God gave him, brought all Israel under him. God gave him victory everywhere he went. God gave him a great name above the name of the men that were on the earth. God gave him Jebus, where he built Zion. God gave David peace round about. If anybody did anything and came against David, but if David sends Joab, or if he goes past Nani, it was a done deal. They were having victory on every side. But sometimes you can get carried away with the victory. and forget that the power for the victory is coming from the love. It's coming from the love. It's the love. The practice of love. The thinking of love. The speaking of love. Every situation to everybody God brings you around. That's why he's emphasizing it. And he's saying that you should hold on to it. That even when the glory of God becomes manifest, we still keep pressing on in love. This is the key. And you know, Adam had the glory, but he didn't secure it by walking in love and obedience. So it's not about getting the glory alone. You see Adam's example, he had the glory, but he couldn't secure it because he didn't walk in love. So that's why God is emphasizing that we must walk in love, obey the commandments of life and love diligently by the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we press deeper into God's presence. And you know, it's instructive that in the life of as we begin to close, in the life of David, you know, he gave us this is actually a set of instructions. You know, and it said, you know, it's amazing that in the Word of God, God has couched instructions, and thank God for our spiritual fathers. Amen. No, God gives them seeing eyes and hearing ears so they can bring out these instructions to us. Look at Psalm 16 in verse 5. From verse 5 to verse 11, he's telling you those things apply to Jesus. They apply to us also prophetically to take us into the fullness of Christ. It's a set of instructions, amen? So let's start from verse 5, all right? This is how to hold on to love. He says in verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. No, amen? It says, thou maintainest my love. Your inheritance is not with men. Your inheritance is not in physical things. Your inheritance is becoming like God and is in God's hand. And ever so often, God encourages us. Tells you, look, your inheritance is here. Bible says that he has reserved an inheritance for us, unfading, you know, eternal. He's kept it for us. So ever so often he encourages us, come, it's available. Come and get it. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. I stretch for the golden scepter to you. Come in. Come on. So God is encouraging us. Amen. And it is as you have revelation knowledge and you begin to see that it is the Lord that is the portion of my inheritance is not in corruptible things. My inheritance is not in what I possess. My inheritance is who I become. I want to become like him. Amen? All right? And that takes us to the next verse. In verse 6, you know, and in verse 6 it says, the lines are falling unto me. Where in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. So here he's talking about a heritage. You know, it's part of your inheritance, you know, but, you know, it's now physical things. You know, a heritage of divine blessing. Divine protection, no restoration, victories. You know, Isaiah 54 verse 17. You see that scripture, Isaiah 54 17. It's like the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the word. This is the word. Heritage of who? The servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Amen. So as you begin to grow and perfect his righteousness in your life, you begin to eat of the heritage. That was what David did in recovering all. Amen. He was eating of the heritage. Verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the nine seasons. Here he's talking about friendship and intimacy with God that brings precise instructions and divine guidance. It's very important. Verse 8. Since I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. All right. So this is a lifestyle of praying that is you do by faith. You set the Lord. And because you've set him at your right hand, you know, prayer becomes a lifestyle. It's actually praying without ceasing. Amen. It becomes a lifestyle. All right. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Yeah, you have fulfillment. You have gladness. You have the blade of the glory. Begin to manifest in soul. It says, my flesh, you know, when I see this, my flesh rests in hope. So, he's seeing something, I know that the end of it is in his flesh. The life of God made manifest where? In our mortal flesh. But first, you are seeing, you know, my mind, I'm thinking more like God. No, that's it. Okay? No, so it's like signposts on the way to the glory. Amen? And then verse 11, as we round up. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of this is where the fullness resides. Amen. Fullness of at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's divine instruction into the fullness of glory, unspeakable joy, incredible ability, creative ability, miracles, signs, and wonders. That's where it is, brethren. So, brethren, we keep pressing in. Whatever it is, start looking at these things. This is where, let them encourage you and take you deeper in your consecration to divine love and obedience. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. Love is the power. We unleash the power of God when we walk in love. When we don't walk in love, we trap the power. We lock it up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So let's consecrate ourselves afresh. Determine. Use every opportunity. Forgiveness. Mercy. Ask life for them. Pray for them in tongues. Put yourself in the shoes of others. God will help us to actually practice these things and not miss the helpers of our destiny. Love divine, all love's excellent. Joy of heaven to earth, come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown, Jesus thou art. All compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart.
Finish now.
Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless. Let us be, let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored. In thee, change from glory into glory, till in purpose we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Let's raise up our right hand in faith, left hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that it is your desire that my love increase and abound, that my love wax hotter and hotter, so that the power of your love, the wisdom of your love, the compassion of your love would transform my life and the lives of others around me and our nation. So, Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to obey all the commandments, the charges, and the precepts and instructions that I have been given.
as I watch and pray consistently, so that I will practice divine love and grow in divine love. And you will bring us to the harbor of destiny and the manifestation of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray in the spirit. Zafreke shondari kaso bangara rakasofa kika yewo miya bababa banga reka de bebe de kumaka sato rabe bebe bebe papakatande yero ma bebe robakatamio redelea robakatandu mesangge konga diko ronde bebe kaka mapa jeffreke ronde bebe dikaka robe kisema. In Jesus' name, amen.